which interestingly enough for your Hebra is that the halachas you're dealing with, most of them you'll have much more of an issue next year when you go than you actually have this year. And the reason behind that is, we'll see as we go along, that not everything has it's into Shemitah mode yet. There are many different halachas about Shemitah, some of which I imagine are fairly irrelevant to you guys, unless you guys go into gardening while you're there. So you're not really going to be dealing with plowing, planting, the issues of plowing and planting, which are relevant now. There are some interesting kinaches in that. If you decide to have one, you want to have a potted plant in your room, sometimes it might be a problem depending on how you do it, taking it out to the repesit. I don't know, with some yeshivas, most yeshivas, the guys don't do the sponger. You do the sponger, you throw the water out. So you might be throwing water in a place where plants grow, so you have a problem of that you're helping the plant to grow. So there are theoretically cases where you would have the issue of the Isser of the Torah of planting or helping something grow during the Shemitah year, but that's probably not you're going to be dealing with. The main issue you're going to be dealing with is that there's certain foods which are prohibited because of Shemitah, and certain foods which are not prohibited, but you have to be careful with what you use them for and how you use them. Okay, there's a third issue which is you can't do business with Shemitah. You know, some of you are more entrepreneurial type, you know, start doing business with Shemitah produce is a problem. Maybe we'll explain how do you walk into the Makolet and buy it. That's the next question. There is a halacha of the May Perishvius, which that becomes very relevant if you go into a Makolet, which, let's say you don't trust their Heksher for Shemitah issues, but there might be the May Perishvius, his money in his coffers over there, his change he's going to give you might be the May Perishvius, which can only be used for food. So you have to be aware of that. What, on the other end of the spectrum, a field of Shemitah is Hefker, so theoretically you can go into the field and take the produce and eat it. And certain scenarios you'll see signs that this field is after Shemitah, and you're allowed to go into it and take it, and that has some limitations what you're allowed to do and you're not allowed to do. Okay. Chazal came along when they decided we have to figure out each item you're dealing with, is this a Shemitah produce or a non-Shemitah produce? That's the first question you have to figure out. So something which was planted in the seventh year, it was harvested in the seventh year, it doesn't take too much to figure out that that's considered a Shemitah produce, right? Obviously. But many times you have a situation where something was started growing in the sixth year, and it was only finally harvested in the seventh year. So is that a sixth year produce or a seventh year produce? Interestingly enough, Chazal came based on Sukkim and differentiated between what type of items you're talking about. And basically, there's going to be three or four different times in the process of the fruit or vegetable that you're going to be talking about. So when it comes to fruits which grow on a tree, Paris Elon, excluding apes, olives and grapes, it depends on when the budding was, the chanata. So that's why most Paris Elon, what's to be hitting the market now, was on the tree already in the sixth year. It had its chanata, which means the budding, which then eventually developed into fruit, happened in the sixth year, so it's not Shemitah produce. Even though it grew partially, even primarily in the Shemitah year, that's not a problem. So that's not going to be, so the Paris Elon, for the most part, are not a problem. There are usually put up in the many of the places where you go with has a reliable Heksher, there'll be a chart. I actually tried to print out a chart now, and I was not successful getting a chart. But a chart when, based on the people who are the farmers, etc., they know the flow of the year. Each year, each Shemitah cycle is a little bit different. They're going to tell you at what point in time you have to start worrying about whether the apples are Shemitah apples or not. And they're going to tell you at what point in time you have to start worrying about the peaches and the apricots. And each fruit is going to be growing a little bit differently than the other one. So usually there are charts there, but the chances are, very for the most part, you're not dealing with Paris Elon, saying there's growing the trees. You're not going to be dealing with Shemitah problems yet. The other end of the spectrum is vegetables. Vegetables, the Merlin's out, go the kita. So it depends on when it was picked. So I don't, it could have grown totally on the sixth year. You pick it on Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't pick because it's a time with I, you pick the item, it's Shemitah produce. It grew totally the year before. It doesn't make a difference. It's picked in Shemitah, it's Shemitah produce. So that's relevant to Yerokas. We'll see. There's a second issue which comes to Yerokas called Svichin. So that's the other end of the spectrum. Is Yerokas also applies to flowers? And now the different types of some flowers grow on a bush, so that's like Paris Island. Some flowers grow, you seeds grow out of the ground. It's a one time thing. It flips over. Bananas, interestingly enough, even though we make a dom on bananas, the way a banana tree works is you don't plant it again from year to year. It's not like a yarek. Even though we make a bracha b'pi adoma, but for this purpose, bananas are like Paris Eilim. Okay. There are.
Over there,
For the purpose of Svichim, bananas are like Paris Eilim. With regards to the issue of Basachim Lakita, they're like Yerokas. So bananas would be a fruit which theoretically you're going to have to deal with Kedushas Paris Shvius. We'll see what that is.
Really?
Okay. There are certain things which go, depend on what Chazal said, it hits the point where it's considered edible, which is shlish bishuloi, a third of its full growth. That applies to grains, and most you're not buying grains, flour, etc. It is relevant to grapes and to olives. So that could have a situation where if it reached shlish bishuloi before the Shemitah year, so it's not a Shemitah produce, but reached shlish bishuloi in the Shemitah year, which is very possibly relevant now, by this point in time, you're going in January, the grapes and olives you're seeing might have grown, hit the point of shlish bishuloi in the seventh year. Okay. The final category is Gemar Pri. So it doesn't depend on when you picked it. It depends on when it grew fully. What's relevant to us is rice. Rice because it depends on Gemar Pri. So you go to the store and they go to a restaurant and they're serving you rice. So if the Gemar Pri was in the seventh year, which probably it was, if it's local grown rice, so it's going to be have a dinner of Shemitah on it. Okay. Something which grew from Chutz Loras and is born into Eretz Israel doesn't have Kedusha Shemitah. There is actually, if it's something which is indistinguishable from Parish Shvius, so in certain cases Chazal did put some limitations on it because people are confused the two. It looks the same thing as Parish Eretz Israel. Fine. Chazal came along and said, they said, here's the problem. The Chazal were worried about the problem. Deraisa, anything which grows on its own, Shemitah year, is Machoikas Tanoyim, we pass on its mutter. So theoretically, in my field, I have wild corn growing. You know, the corn, last year I planted it, I harvested it, some kernels of corn fell into the fields and grew on their own and made a corn plant. Since they didn't need it. Chazal came along and said, here's a problem. Let's say a person is not so scrupulous and he would like to really plant and make some produce out of his field. So he knows that certain things grow wild, so he'll go in the middle of the night, put a few kernels of corn into the ground, it'll grow, and say, wow, look, there's some kernels of corn grew on their own, and now I have a corn plant, which I'm allowed to use. So Chazal said that that's what we're concerned about, so you can't use that which grows on its own, so he has no motivation to try and do that, because even if it grows on its own, you can't use it. That's referred to in Halacha as Svichim. So, because that's the logic behind it, so they didn't answer Svichim in property karka which belongs to Goyim. Okay, because, you know, Goyim will plant whatever he wants. They didn't answer it things which planting doesn't work for the following until it takes a few years to grow. So bananas, there's no dinner sweet here because you plant the banana tree, it takes a few years before it starts producing bananas. So there's no motivation to do that. Any parasilin, there's no dinner sweet here because again, they're going to grow on their own. They grow in the tree. Tree grows. You don't have to plant anything to make the tree grow. But something which you need to plant to be able to have it grow, you need to put seeds in to make it grow. So there's the motivation. If it's in a type of ground which people don't normally plant, a type of an item people do not normally cultivate. So again, the motivation is going to be minimal, so it's also not asked. Discussion amongst the place in regards to mushrooms. Big shout out whether mushrooms have it in a Kedusha Shvias because it doesn't really grow out of the ground. But if you assume that there is a problem with mushrooms, is within a Svichim of mushrooms? So the type can absolutely hold that there is a problem with Svichim of mushrooms. Even more, since there's not, it's because people didn't used to cultivate mushrooms. It's like, who cultivated mushrooms? Nowadays, there's a tremendous business of cultivating mushrooms, and nowadays there would be theoretically an incentive to cultivate mushrooms. Okay, so what did Chazal say about these svichim? Chazal said these svichim are also to eat, can eat them. So Midoraita, they're perish shvius. Midoraita, they have kedusha shvius. Midoraita, you can't eat them. But even though we said that Yeruchos Gobasar Lakita, that this concern is that you're going to plant that this we're planting is in Shemitah. So it only applies to something which is planted in the Shemitah year. So if you can tell the difference by size, theoretically be mutter. But that's not relevant for us, but now there's no difference anywhere. You can't tell the size. Immediately, Rosh Hashanah time, you can tell the plant which is planted in the sixth year, even though you picked in the seventh year, it has Kedusha Shemitah. But you didn't plant it now, you can tell. It's too big to be planted now. So you can tell it wasn't. So there's no way to sweep him in that situation. So the chart that you'll look at will give you a date when sweep him start. Most dates are November. Because even the Shemitah year started, you know, by the time it gets November, you can't tell the difference between something was planted after Rosh Hashanah and was planted before Rosh Hashanah. So the chart will tell you if it's yes Svichim or no Svichim, you know, what each item, whether it has an Isser Svichim or not. It'll tell you when the Svichim starts for this agricultural year. Most of them already started in November, so Svichim will be relevant to you. Okay. Vegetables, for the most part, are going to have a problem with Svichim. So if you want to eat vegetables, you're going to have to make sure you're in a place which has a reliable heksher. That reliable heksher tells you that this is coming either from non-Jewish karka, it's Arab produce, or it's produce which is brought from chutzlords. So that, therefore there won't be a problem with svichim. Some of you have probably heard of something called the Hetter Mechira. Right? So the Hetter Mechira is extremely... contentious issue. So it's one thing, you know, you go to an Arab and he has his property, which is his property, and he owns it, right? So that's non-Jewish produce. What about a person who has a Jewish farm, and the same way we sell our chametz for Pesach, we're going to sell our karka for Shemitah, right? So now it belongs to the non-Jew. So it belongs to the non-Jew. There's no price. So that's the theory behind it. The problem with the theory is that there's an issue of the rights of selling karka in Eretz Yisrael to goyim. So that's one of the issues. Is that really a sale? So it's not really a sale because you don't remember this derisus. It's not really a sale. So why is it mutter? So it comes complicated. Some person say it's good. Some person say it's not good. The rabbinu texture relies on the heter mechira. So you go into a store, you go into a restaurant which relies on the rabbinu texture. They're going to give you vegetables. So according to many places, some of those they have a sechim, you can't eat them because there's no hetter mechira. They're lying on hetter mechira, telling you that it's karka v'nochri and it's not problem smichim, and you can eat your lettuce or your tomato or your carrots or your cucumbers. Right? And so there are other issues. Most people do not rely on the rabbanu hetter alone. Anyway, so that's going to be not such a common issue. But you have while you're there, you have to visit your cousin, you know. And that cousin is relies on the rabbanu hetter. You have to understand that you're not going to be eating any vegetables while you're there in the house. Svichim, of course, Chazal asked blias of svichim into the pot. So if they cook, cook the chicken soup with the carrots in it, so you're not only not going to eat the carrot soup, not eat the soup either. Right? They cooked the chicken together with, you know, with carrots, you're not eating the chicken. And you have to kasha the pot. So it becomes very complicated visiting relatives which are Orthodox, but they don't necessarily have the same hechsher, level of hechsher as you want to have, especially during the Shemitah year. You want to buy flowers for your going to visit somebody. So flowers also have an issur of svichim. So the flowers that you're getting are flowers which are coming from either non-Jew, Arab flowers or flowers from outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have the same problem. So you want to buy flowers for Shabbos for somebody, you have to buy them from a place which is reliable.
The issur is buying, not just eating.
The issur is, there's not an issur of eating, there's an issur of, well, scar is one problem, you can't use it. So for this, it's called using it. Okay. What was interesting, just, you know, a political plug over here, the issur of svichim, they only put on places which early Bobel captured, not early Mitzrayim. So when the Chayesel first came there, so they were able, they came from out of Mitzrayim, they came there, so they captured a larger portion of land, and they were able to get back the second time they came back after the Korban Bayis Rishon, they came back after 70 years. So that's the area of Olei Bobel. So before they gave away the Gush Katif, many persons held Gush Katif was not a problem because it was early Mitzrayim, not early Bobel. If you look at the maps of early Bobel, they weren't able to get back the strip of land by the coast. So because we had Aza, so anything which was grown in Aza didn't have a problem. Greenhouse produce. Something that grows in a greenhouse. So this is a machlokes, how we deal with greenhouses, and it's complicated. How to deal with greenhouses, and you're not going to get a simple answer on greenhouses. Again,
you mean hydroponics?
Even not hydroponics. There's something which is growing in Otis Shenonokov. It doesn't have these isur. So, but some person hold nowadays it's made for the purpose of growing things, so it does have a problem. So perhaps you have to hold it is a problem. You know, so you get different answers on that. So you know, if you're relying on a reliable hechsher, you can follow what the hechsher says. Now, that when I said that there's no issur of svichim on produce from a nachri, there's no issur of svichim on the produce from a nachri. Is there kedusha shviyas on produce of a nachri? So this is the machlokes. So the pasuk shulchan, which was one of the to me that when your history teacher tells you, right, that you know that Eretz Yisrael was very sparsely populated, and the Vilna Gaon encouraged people to go to Eretz Yisrael. And one of his group of Talmidim, headed by the Vilna Gaon Talmidim, came back to Eretz Yisrael. One of them was a person named Mendel Mishklov from the city of Shklov, and he wrote a sefer to go through all the halachas that we have to know how to deal with produce issues in Eretz Yisrael, which they weren't dealing with any of that. So he wrote a sefer called Pa'asa Shulchan. And that became the standard for many people in how to deal with any issues of chumas, mices, etc. Shemitah was his sefer. And he also, there's no kedusha shviyas on produce which grows in Arab-owned land. And that is the Minig Yerushalayim. Minig Yerushalayim, because many of the Minig Yerushalayim were founded by Tamidei Agrua, they followed the Pesach of the Pasuk Shulchan. Chazon Ish disagreed. He has many rayas that there is a Dinakusha Shmias on produce which grows in non-Jewish land, which is one of the, he says, the issue with the Hetta Makira doesn't solve any of your problems. So even if you sell to the Goy, there is still our Kedusha Shviyas on the Paris. So even if you know, there's no Kedusha Shviyas on the Paris, which there is a sheet of Rishonim like that, there's an Issur Malacha. So you can't work the field. What the Hetter Mashiach basically does is that they sell the field to the goy, and then the Jew works the field. So it's still an Isser Malacha. So that becomes very complicated. But so the minhag in Eretz Yisrael nowadays basically is in Yerushalayim, many people are makel on and they eat heiros. They don't deal with kedusha shviyas heiros, which come from Arab produce. And outside of Yerushalayim, basically you're not going to see that. Outside of Yerushalayim, pretty much the pesach of the chazanish has become most areas have, except the pesach of the chazanish, and heiros like that will be. So what the dula maisa in Yerushalayim, you have a hetra of the badats. So the badats is makel on it. They are makel on it. Can you rely on it? I think you can rely on it. The badat, you're on the shoulders of the badats. Outside of Yerushalayim, I'm not sure what a badats hetra and tzvas does vis-a-vis the chazanish. I'm not sure what they think about that. Okay, so what are some of the halachos of kedusha that they have in parish? So besides svitim. Which makes it also to eat. Besides that, things which are mutter to eat, there's halachas how you eat it. So I'm getting my vegetables from Arab produce, and I'm arguing that I'm not in Yerushalayim, so there's no sort of svitim, but they have kedusha shviyas. Right? So I have halachas how I have to deal with it. First of all, you can't waste it. And you can't destroy it. So preferably when portions are made, portions should be made the amount you're going to eat. Shouldn't be leaving over leftovers. If a person has a little piece of, scrap of a piece of a carrot after, that's not what we're talking about, then you can throw out. If a person that leaves over something which is really edible and somebody theoretically could eat it, that's kedusha shviyas. You can't destroy kedusha shviyas. You can't throw it into the garbage. So every single house you're going to visit will have what's called a pach shviyas, a special garbage can designated for shvita produce. So till it gets to the point where it's not edible, you can't throw it out. So what you do is you put it into some type of a plastic bag, etc. You put it into the pot. Shviyas, there's a bag in there, and it sits there for a few days till it becomes totally spoiled. So you haven't actively thrown it into garbage, which will cause it to deteriorate. You let it sit. Now you can throw it out with the regular garbage. Until then, you cannot do that because you're mixing with the regular garbage. So it's kaddish, as kedusha on it, so it's the bizoyan, and now you're causing it to deteriorate. So we discourage the getting into that situation. Now, getting back to my soup. So I made a soup with carrots in it, to have and a little soup left over. There's enough. A half a portion, nobody's going to eat it. I can't throw it out, it's edible. So I've let it sit out for a few days till it spoils and throw it out. So that's relevant for your vegetables now. It's not relevant. You make wine right now is not a problem because the wine you're dealing with, which is already in the grape juice in the market, is not Shemitah wine. Next year you're going to have Shemitah grape juice on the market. So make Abdullah, you can't spill over extra. If you spill, you drink that. You can't throw it out. You can't be masa b'yadayim. You can't, stick the havdalah candle into it. You're being masa the wine b'yadayim. You're damaging the wine. So the way you make havdalah during on Shemitah wine and grape juice is different than you make havdalah regularly. So that's one example of that.
How would you make havdalah? How would you put out the candle?
You can blow it out. You can cover it over with something which smothers the oxygen, etc. You can't use wine. You can pour water on it. Okay. You can't feed it to your animals. And it calls one. It's roy for Michael Odom. You can't feed it to an animal. So and they're still not really into feeding animals so much. Except the guy on the farm. He has a dog, which he needs to. He doesn't have it for a pet. They're more into having it for protection. Cats are not. Cats is you'll find. Not in Eretz Yisrael, cats are not pets. Cats are considered like rats. So you're not going to be into like feeding cats. I was actually, last year I was in Eretz Yisrael, I stayed at a bed and breakfast in Swass, and the woman had a cat. And all of her neighbors, she's an American woman, obviously. She brought her cat with her. People in the neighborhood think she's absolutely out of her mind. Like, who keeps a cat as a pet? Like, cats are like rats. It's like, I have a pet rat. Right, really, okay. Okay, so be aware of that. Peres Shviyas cannot be mastered, so you shouldn't pick them when they're unripe. It can be much better and more tasty when it's ripe already, so you should not be allowed to pick it when it's unripe. So it means if you have the tefillah, which is hefker, you want to go take some grapes and eat grapes of Eretz Yisrael. They're hefker, it's a big sign they're hefker, only if they're fully grown. They're not fully grown, you can't take them yet. If you did pick them, most places won't be allowed to eat them. You have to eat it in the normal fashion. So something you normally eat raw, you can't cook. Because something you normally cook, you can't eat raw. Peeling. So when by peeling, you're taking off something which is part of the fruits. So you're allowed to peel something normal to peel. You take as much as you can't. You know, take a thick peel off of it. Take as much as necessary, and that's it. What's the status of the peels? So the peels have, because there's, you know, if theoretically they're still edible, so they have, you know, the person peels an apple. That peel has a dinner condition. You need a pach shviyas for that. You can't throw it out because it's edible. An orange peel which is not edible, you can throw out. You can't compare shviyas to a goy.
Even though orange peels are edible, it's not normal. Something to cover around.
I remember some.
They put in things.
I don't know. My assumption always was that orange peels are not, but most people think that's edible. I don't know. Maybe I could be the person say differently. I don't know. The seeds. So some fruits, the seeds you can eat with the fruit with the seeds. So the seeds also have kedusha shviyas on them. The take a pit out of the middle of you know some of the an apricot. Nobody eats apricot pits, so they play with them, but they don't eat them. So there's no kedusha shviyas on the pits. You can't take peres shviyas outside of Eretz Yisrael. So he said, great, you know, just a kavaldik idea, I'll bring back home some peres shviyas for my parents. That's a great idea, you can't do that. So the you know, you can bring home some Arab produce to your parents. You know, so I have an exciting present for your parents, so I have Arab produce. If you hold like those sheets, that doesn't have kedusha shviyas. So you're outside of Yerushalayim. I don't know. So I wouldn't advise. On the plane, probably on the way back, they're going to be serving you. What they're going to be serving you is probably there's a good heksher. It's probably from a food source to start with. Okay. I go. You can't do business with peres shviyas. So again, any guys decide to be entrepreneurs, you can't do that. Hefker field, great. I'll go pick some grapes. Turn that guys, you know, 50 cents for the grapes. You know, can't do that. So how do you go into this local store, fruit store? They have a fruit store, and you're paying money for your peres shviyas. How do you do that? So usually it's done based on what's called an Oitzebez. Oitzebez means the following. We're all allowed to go into that field and take produce. But practically, that's a very big miracle for us. So we can theoretically make a shliach for ourselves to go to the field to get the produce for us. All right, so the Bezdin, it's based on Tosef, that says, okay, we will become representative of the people. We're going to go to the field and get the produce and do whatever necessary to get the produce. Even if it costs us some money to hire some workers to do that, we can do that too. So what you're paying for is not for the fruits. You're paying for the workers who harvested the fruits, acting as shluchim for the people. Let me just put his thought. So that money which you're giving to the if it's assigned to the Tzur Bezdin, which is how it's going to work. Right? If the sign says Tzur Bezdin, which is how it's going to work, so the Tzur Bezdin, the money that you're giving them is not money for the fruits. So there's no kedusha on that money. You pay the storekeeper, you're not paying him for. So now, according to that, he cannot charge you more for better fruit and less for inferior quality fruit. Normally, you might walk into the store, your upper end apples, you know, the ones that look better, he charges a higher price. The one which looks damaged, he charges you a lower price. You can't do that. Because you're not paying for the fruit, you're paying for the work. The work was the same. Now, there might be more work involved in picking apples than there's involved in picking oranges or vice versa. So I can charge you a different price for apples than for oranges. Because that the work involved is of harvesting is different, right? Calving orders, again, not an issue right now, but vegetables are, you know, right? But is it more relevant, you know, to bananas? So there's no suspicion, but there's a different kedusha on that, right? So bananas, if you want to pick up a banana, it's going to be through Eitz HaBez Din, right? Or Heter Mechira, those are your two options. In Yerushalayim, it's possible to get a banana. It was from non-Jewish, from Arab produce. Those are your three options. Outside Yerushalayim, it's going to be based on Eitz HaBez Din, any place which is reliable. So that money's not a problem. Somebody, you give him money, he gives you change, the money he's giving you is not, wasn't money for produce, it was money for the work. It's not a problem. I walk into a makolot, which I want to buy a soda, and this fellow doesn't have a good, reliable heksher. The soda itself is a good heksher, but he's selling fruit over here from a heksher which is not good. So if he sold that fruit and that fruit wasn't the best, people gave him money, they're giving money for the fruit, that money becomes kaddish. Now he gives you, that coin becomes kaddish. You give him a 10 shekel bill for your soda, and he gives you back some scroll and change, that money has kedusha shviyas on it. So you can only use that money which you got back. You can't use it for food and for drink. It gets complicated where you're buying. You don't want to be involved in buying something which having, you know, these type of things. Paris, which have kedusha shviyas, yeah.
So when you have money that has kedusha shviyas, is that the kedusha shviyas in the actual money, or can you use like a different?
No, it's that actual coin becomes. Okay. So one of the, you know, so you go into a restaurant and such, it's a problem. You know, most people pay at the end of the meal. By the time you pay at the end of the meal, there's no food anymore. So you're not paying for the food; you're paying for the fact that you ate the food. So one of the eights is, you know, you have is you buy with a credit card. You know, no problem of any type of issues of kedusha on the money, because it's already, it's a loan. It functions as a loan. So, but if it's done with paying with actual cash before you consume it, that's you have this problem. If it doesn't have, it's not Eitz HaBez Din, you can't sell it in a normal fashion. So you can't sell it in the shuk. So you can't have this regular store functioning unless it's Eitz HaBez Din. Right, you can sell it out of the house, etc. You can't weigh it. You can't, that's bizoyant to the parish shviyas that you're weighing them. So you sell it by estimation, amount of it, which is there, etc. Okay. Now what's relevant for me, for you guys for next year is what point in time will items not be parish shviyas anymore. So the assumption usually for your walkers is by Hanukkah time, you don't have to worry about it anymore. So by Hanukkah, after Hanukkah you're okay. Other items will be longer. So Rabbi Lyman informed me that you guys are not taking along technology or minimal technology, but so they're not so relevant for you. But if you want to have, I was able to find. The Shemitah app has a list of produce. It says every single type of thing. You hit it. It tells you, does it have svichim or not? When does it start? When does it end? When the kedusha starts, is allowed to be peeled or not? What limitations you have to how to use it, etc. What's the status of the peel? Garlic, the peel has no kedusha on it, so you can throw it out however you want. May it be peeled? Yes. How does it have to be eaten? It can be either raw or cooked, because garlic is used or raw or cooked. And it has.
I guess we have to bring our phones.
So, you know. So, but most of these lists over here, you can see over here, will be found in most stores. We'll have a list like that of all. There's a chart over here. Produce chart.
Is that app a reliable app?
Yes, it's a very good. Some things are machlokes, but you'll see over here a chart. Called a Shemitah chart. Usually it's in Hebrew, unless you can hang around the places which are in English. Right? the name of the item, when the kedusha starts, how it's been prepared, can be peeled. They're basically the same thing. This will be up in many of your stores, this type of a chart. So you go in there and say, oh, I can't buy apples yet. There are apples that I buy have kedusha shvias. Be careful with that. So again, it's a lot of it's going to be more relevant next year than it's going to be relevant this year. Like you look at the your apples. List of produce that tells you apples starts in May 2015. That's the Kedusha. Instead of worrying about apples in May, until May, you have to worry about apples. End time is June 2016. So you can stop worrying about apples a year later, right? So that's where you so that those lists are available all over the place. You know, that's, so you're going to see that. Okay, Rabbi, I'm also asking you to talk about some of the lachas of going to the kaisel, tree on the kaisel. So the lacha is the person who goes to the kaisel. More correctly, the person sees the makom mikdash, which is now destroyed. Mikdash is destroyed, so we're korea, we tear a garment. It's a sifrei shulchan aruch. It's a sifrei shulchan aruch. The person sees the makom mikdash. The korbanoi is a nusa that you say, which is found in shulchan aruch. It's in tavkuf samachal. It says a roi yushalem be korbano. No. Rabbi Semikdash Armor Base Kachenu, Vizifartenu, Shehil Lucha Bayam Vesenu, Hoyul Sef Ezeish, Chomach Mandenu, Hoyul Kharva. So it was burnt, it's been destroyed, and you're Korea. There is this, you know, halachic myth. If you go Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, you don't have to tear. There's no source for it in halacha. They've tried to find where it came from. They haven't figured it out yet. Right? There's no source of it in the law. There are some places going to say, therefore, the best thing to do, with the mice, it's a minig. You don't want to play with a minig. So the best thing to do is to get you get the before chatzos and be correct. If you're not going to connect again, you're minig and you're keeping the halacha. Relying on that minig alone is very, very difficult to rely on. When are you guys leaving? Okay. Wednesday. So Rosh Chodesh you don't tear. So if you're not going to get there Rosh Chodesh, so you're leaving Wednesday, what time is it? Six half of the afternoon. So you're going to get there at Israel sometime late Thursday night. What?
Going to Poland.
Going to Poland first. So when are you going there to Israel?
Tuesday.
Okay, so then the air shop is not in the air. Okay, so you go to take along an extra jacket. Extra jacket, an old shmatnicker jacket, etc. You don't tear your coat; you just tear one garment, which is your jacket. Mishmar passes. You can tear on the left side. Suppose you tear on the right side. You tear on the left side. Just loyal and a person should never do the levelis. Levelis for a parent, you tear on the left side. For all the levels, you tear on the right side. Your father and mother on the left side, because that's the person's bear, as it were, is bearing his heart. For mikdash, you tear on the left side also. The tear is a tefach down. The tear has to be down, not out. So jackets a lot of time have some type of a inside of the lapel. They have some type of a reinforcement, which is very hard to tear. So for a parent, well, laying on a person to tear with their hands. They have to tear with their hands. So usually, what happens is somebody makes a start and they tear down with their hand. Over here, it can be makel. Even though it says it's shidomiyad, many persons say nowadays it will make it the clean. So a person takes the scissors and cuts down. So that's much more doable. The Mishabura says, Mistabir, the day the person sees Yerushalayim, first day he sees Yerushalayim Rechavono, he shouldn't eat meat or drink wine that day. Mistabir to Mishabura like that. You know, now, what do you tear on? So, meeker than you tear on the Makom HaMikdash. So, you see the Kaisel, you're not seeing the Makom HaMikdash. When you're coming down on the bus towards the Kaisel, you can see above, you can see the mask. That's the Makom Mikdash. If you get a tour, you go into they take you to the Hakotel. You can go up into a few stories up and take up the roof. You can see into the Makom Mikdash. You go on top of Eish HaTaara, you can see into the Makom Mikdash. How much you can see the land there. So that's really where you're there. If it's not going to be accessible to you for any reason, you're not going to be able to have a chance to see that, you would tear on the coastal itself. The coastal itself really is the wall of the Har Habayis. It's not the wall of the Mikdash. Like the vast, vast opinions of historians, it's Har Habayis, it's the wall of the Har Habayis. So you're not seeing Mikdash, you're seeing Har Habayis. The Maisa, you know what's behind it, so you could tear in that situation. Now there's a separate din of tearing on Yerushalayim. So Shulchan Aruch talks about tearing once for Yerushalayim, the second time for the Mikdash. So Yerushalayim means the Ir Atika, the old city. Some person say nowadays we don't tear Yerushalayim because the Maisa, there are Yidden there. So the best thing to do is when you tear by the Kaisel, have in mind that you're tearing for Yerushalayim also.
Good enough to tear down this package.
Our minhag is to do bagadalia. So if you're just not wearing a jacket, that would be your bagadalia.
And then I could just tear the.
Right. But the most of the minhag is to use it. Mikra din, you should tear all your garments. We're makel, use bagadalia. So it's not proper to get out of not doing bagadalia. It's better to bring an old jacket.
What if you didn't take my jacket?
What?
If I take off my jacket.
Another round. That's when you should tear all of your garments. So we're makel just to do bagadalion. The bagadalion means the bagad which is normally worn by you as your upper outer garment. It doesn't mean a coat, because coat is made for purposes of warmth. Right? Whatever you normally use, it be a sweater or a jacket, whatever it is that you're normally going to use, as that's how you normally comport yourself, so that's what you would use.
It's ripped already. You can rip it again.
If it's ripped already, you can rip it again. So if it's been used already, you rip it again, you should move over a tefach and tear a second time. So it can either be down, so a person tore over here, you can make a cut and tear here, right? Or it can go further into the garment and tear that one. There is something else you can just tear it again on the tefach, and that's not preferred. Mishabura says, B'shas, that you make the actual kriya, so you say this phrase, which, probably is kedai that you should get a copy of it. You actually make, making the actual kriya, you say, Baruch Dayan HaMes, without Shem HaMalchus. That Hashem is the true judge, Dayan HaMes. Mishabura brings a list of, it's proper, when you do this, that you should be Mishtachabet. Now, being Mishtachabet is a little complicated. We don't want you to look like you're being Mishtachabet to the mask. So you see the mask, don't be Mishtachabet. So if you're just by the Kaisel, now you'll go to the Kaisel, you see people do different things and hug them on your eyes. Some really firmies don't touch the Kaisel. You're allowed to touch the Kaisel. Some people have a thing that they put their head on their arm, everyone, you do what you want with the Kaisel, There's no halachic status of how to do it, down by the Kaisel. There is a minute to kiss the stones. The main minute is the emotion, not the maisa. The person stands by the. I just want to tell you a story. I was in Eretz Yisrael the first time. It was 1989. My father-in-law has a joke. The joke goes like this. A person comes in to visit the President of the United States. He sees on his desk three telephones. There's a red one, a white one, and a blue one. So he asks him, what are these three phones for? She says the white one is for regular calls, the red one is the hotline to Moscow, and the blue one is for calls to heaven. So can I use the blue phone? He says, yeah. He uses the blue phone. He says, after they get the bill, it's $50. $50. It's a long-distance call. Alright, good. A little while later, he's in Moscow, and he sees on the phone over there, he's by the Kremlin, he sees on the premier's the red phone, a white phone, and a blue phone. Same answer. Can I use the blue phone? Yes, he uses the blue phone. He gets a bill of $500. It's a very long distance call from Moscow to heaven. Good. while later, he's in Yerushalayim, he's at Prime Minister's office, and he sees three phones, a red one, a white one, a blue one. Can I use the blue phone? He says, yes, 25 cents local call. That's the joke. Okay, here's the mice. I was in Eretz Yisrael, I went for Pesach, 1989, I went for Pesach, and so the day before I left, we were leaving early, like the Monday morning, so Sunday, I went to the Kaisel to say goodbye to the, and I had a certain Inyan in the Avodas Hashem that I wanted to work on, and I spent a long time davening for Siyata Shemaya in that area. Okay? Part of a conversation to me and my creator, I'm walking away from the Kaisel, and a fellow taps me on the shoulder. Yerushalmi Yid, I have no idea who the person is, never met a person before in my life, as far as I know. He asked me where I'm from, he says I'm from Cleveland. I was living in Cleveland then. He says, oh, do you know Rabbi Bloom? Yeah, he'd been in Cleveland for there's a big heart hospital in Cleveland called Cleveland Clinic. He'd been there for surgery, so he shows a little bit. Talking about maybe 2 minutes. And he starts giving me mussar on the topic that I davened for Siyata Deshmaya. For 15 minutes, he starts giving me mussar about the importance of this topic, and so you have to work on yourself. And it's like, whoa, okay? Good. He says goodbye to me. I walk away, and it's time to leave, and I'm going to the bus, and on my way out, I'm giving him the stalker. He's Yerushalmi, and they don't bother him with the money because he doesn't look like a tourist, you know. I get into the bus, and he's sitting there. So, Yuga Manchka, come here. He sits me down next to him and goes at me again for 15 minutes. He asks him, I'm going to Rabbi Yashiv afterwards. He says, I'll get off with it. I'll take you to Rabbi Yashiv. He says, I'm getting off the next step. It's the same thing. We get to Rabbi Yashiv and it's too early. He says, okay, no problem. I'll come back a few minutes later. So I leave there. I'm walking along Meir Shorten and a person grabs my arm and pulls me into one of the side streets over there, the Simta Ot, and starts giving me mussar about that topic. Yerushalmi, I have no shackles on the guy, starts giving me mussar about this topic. By the third time, I was physically trembling. I was physically shaking. Like, it was like, it's a local call. The Kursal is a local call. You ask, and you get it. It's not like, you know, so you have to appreciate the Kursal. One last point about leaving the Kursal. 2 points. People will ask you for tzedakah, right? There is a halach of tzedakah. You can't ignore somebody. If you're able to, you can't ignore him. You have to give many throws of guilt. You know, he might not want to take your money. You know, you give him a half a shekel. Half a shekel boils down to about 12 cents. You know, but you have to give him something. Now, so you should have some small change in you. You don't think large ones, you know, are they really true kosher, not kosher? It's hard to know. I'm okay to give them large sums of money. But if he refuses it, you have a real halachic dilemma. He doesn't have this money for tzedakah possibly, and the person not accepting it. You with me? You hearing the problem? Right? So you should have in mind, in that type of situation, beforehand, if it's refused, you never meant to designate it for tzedakah. So you offer it and he refused, that's his business. You're not chayv anymore after that. I mean, you should give. I mean, you know, it's possible within range to give, you know. Because a person should have money available to give. When you leave the coastal, many people have been meaning to not turn their back to the coastal. So you walk backwards again. It's definitely a sensitivity, and it's definitely proper to do. So then you have the question, so halachically, when are you allowed to turn around, you know, at what point? It's a minute, it's not a halacha. It's not for that halacha anywhere. But there is a concept that when you walk out of a shul, that you walk out, you know, bowing to the Aron. It's not any worse than that. And you walk out bowing to the Aron, and you say goodbye. Okay, any questions?
If you have money that's Kedusha Shvius, what can you do with it?
Food and drink in Eretz Yisrael. Again, it's much more relevant next year. There's going to be relevant now because your fruits are not going to be a problem, as except for bananas. Most vegetables, either they're Svichim, or if they're not Svichim, they're either from Kutz Lorz or they're from Eretz Produce in Yerushalayim, which is saying it doesn't produce Shvius. So that point will be much more relevant for next year than for this year. Okay.